So I have here what I'm holding appears to be the State Journal Register. Especially, you know, quick glance, it would definitely appear to be that very newspaper. And tell me what the main headline is on this paper.
The lead article is Rauner Madigan Removed.
And maybe go ahead and read like the first paragraph or two.
Rauner Madigan Removed. Party leaders defeated. Seen fleeing town. Byline is from everyone in conversations everywhere. Governor Bruce Rauner and House Speaker Michael Madigan have finally been defeated, according to sources in the State House. Representatives of both parties are expected to formally announce the news in a joint press conference Sunday. Staff are also said to be considering a celebratory downtown parade. Neither the governor nor the speaker could be reached for comment. According to witnesses, the two were last seen boarding the early morning Lincoln Shields Amtrak line to historical Bloody Island on the Illinois-Missouri border.
All right. And so tell me what else is on the front page here.
So there's a couple other articles. There's Grand Bargain with History. It's one of the other mains. City vows to improve race relations, target racism. Stagnant water dooms Hunter Lake, saves city millions. And then some of the picture, the inset kind of articles are Hoop Dreams, does a 1905 contract really block basketball hoops from Enos Park? And Lincoln's Fake News, museum exhibition on Honest Abe's articles.
So let's back up a little bit and tell us about why you were in Springfield and what the aim of your project was here.
Sure. So this was born out of a residency at the Springfield Art Association that took place in May and June of this year. I spent 6 weeks in Springfield interviewing people that I met, and this was everyone from kids in the park to people working at the museum, a full range, and I tried to make it as diverse as possible, as many different voices as possible. At the same time, I was also doing a lot of archive work, so I was going to the Sangamo Valley Collection in the library. I was meeting with cultural resource managers. I was trying to get that kind of high-end academic view, too. So I took all of the things I heard, all these different voices, and I started trying to figure out what people wanted to hear. I was asking them, what would you want to see in the paper? What's your speculative future for Springfield? So this is born out of that. This is something like the People's Fake News of Springfield. This is what people wanted to see. And that's where the byline really comes in, from everyone in conversations everywhere. Some people were of one political view, some were of the other, but both really wanted these guys out of there, at least in the conversations I had. So I tried to make that the lead article.
Where did this idea even come from?
In Chicago, where I live, I've done something like this before in my neighborhood. I like making it really neighborhood specific because trying to cover an entire city, it just starts dissolving. You start losing the border around things. So this is really based out of Enos Park, where I was for the residency. I have done this in Chicago. I've done a lot of work with different people's voices. I'm really interested in this idea of the individual within the crowd and trying to find ways to speak from those points of view, and then coming in as an individual, as an artist, and trying to interpret those voices and spread them. This was really inspired when I started reading this book. I learned that Abraham Lincoln had been a great producer of fake news, and this came as a shock to me. But apparently he wrote a large number of articles. The most famous one is the Rebecca Letters, where he pretended to be a young woman named Rebecca and wrote letters to the paper, making up all sorts of things about a political opponent, James Fields. And that is why in that lead article you have Rauner and Madigan getting on the Lincoln Shields Amtrak line. Shields eventually challenged Lincoln to a duel. They almost went to Bloody Island, and it got called off at the last minute. But this was what got me started, that finding out that Honest Abe, of all people, was creating a lot of fake news back in his time. And there seemed to be a lot of parallels with now and a lot of divergences from now. And it made me want to come to Springfield. So I saw this residency opportunity. I applied and was fortunate enough to be able to come down and make this happen.
So it's mixing the sentiment of today with some historical context that people will, if they're privy to it, mm-hmm. they'll be getting the references, as well as just taking on some issues people are really passionate about, right? This isn't all just like The Onion where it's totally satirical.
No, this is trying to do something else ultimately. So yes, at first there's confusion, and then hopefully there's humor. And where I hope it ends is with a call to action. So throughout the paper, there are phone numbers for a lot of local governmental offices. So I don't want people to get to the end and say, oh, feel this gotcha moment as if like, oh, they got tricked. Haha, that's enough. There are the numbers for the mayor's office, for City Water, Light, and Power, if they want to call about Hunter Lake. And like I was saying, a call to action. I hope people actually get in touch with the representatives and start trying to change things.
And so let's talk a little bit about the practicalities here of how do you get something that resembles so closely a newspaper and what you did to distribute it.
The distribution was fun. It was that moment where I was like, wait a second, I'm supposed to be an artist, I'm supposed to be conceptual, what am I doing running up and down the streets at 5 a.m.? So I managed to get a PDF of this and do a lot of editing on the computer. I found a really good printer in Chicago, and I started trying to match the fonts as closely as possible, et cetera, et cetera. On August 1st, the State Journal Register seems to have changed their template, so suddenly I had to redo a whole bunch of work, but in the end, I think I came up with a pretty good approximation. For the distribution, I was trying to get in a lot of different public places, so I dropped it in hospital waiting rooms, both Memorial and St. John's. I dropped it in coffee shops downtown from Custom Cup, Cafe Andiamo, William Vann's, Cafe Moxo. The farmer's market was happening, so I dropped some in J.P. Kelly's, too, for the Bloody Mary bar. I went up and down Enos Park. I was running up and down 4th Street, 5th Street, 6th Street, 7th Street, 8th Street, and I had these rolled up with rubber bands on them. And I would just throw them on the doorstep. My wife was driving in a car behind me, and she would hand me a new tote bag when I would get to the end of the block, and then I would run for like another while, throw more. It was a nice, humid Springfield morning, so I got nice and soaked. By the end of the time, people were starting to come outside. So there would be an old man opening the door, sitting down in his rocking chair to read a paper, and I managed to get up and actually hand it to people. Be like, oh, here you go. He's like, is that the paper? To tell him, yep, late edition, go ahead. He's like, all right, thanks. I left a bunch in Enos Park itself, and there were people already reading them by the time I was leaving. And I hand-delivered a copy to Abraham Lincoln's home, too. I felt it was appropriate that he would respect fake news for one's political views.
Do you run any risk here? The State Journal Register, could they come after you?
You know, this was really a point of speculation while we were distributing these. I kept being like, well, I don't know, they're going to get me for something. And my wife was like, oh, you're being ridiculous. No, it's never going to happen. And I was like, I don't know, is this littering in the park if I give it to Abraham Lincoln? He's like, well, maybe. They're going to sentence me to all sorts of community service. I'm going to have to go speak the truth to people. I don't know. If so, maybe it'll give me a chance to get to speak about this even more. I'm not particularly worried. I did put it also in a number of newspaper boxes. And this was an ethical point because I was thinking, okay, I don't want someone to pay their $2 expecting to get the official State Journal Register and get the unofficial State Journal Register. So I put in my $2. I took out all the copies inside. And I would fold the cover around backwards so that no one would know it was it. And then I would sheathe it within this paper. So people still got what they were paying for, but they would also get this as a distraction at the beginning. So I don't think I subtracted from anyone's experience. And I think that's the important thing, is trying to give rather than take away.
So some people listening, you may have seen a shocking newspaper recently. The date on it is Saturday, August 19th. It was distributed over this weekend. I've been speaking with James Pepper Kelly, the artist behind the madness, I guess we can say. and so I was at the farmer's market when I ran into you, and I got a couple copies, handed one to my dad, and we were talking about it later. And he asked a question that I think a lot of people still might have, especially those who might not be as familiar with conceptual art. What makes this art?
I think a lot of art nowadays that's working conceptually is trying to work with the community. And I think we're getting away from this one-point perspective a lot of the time of, I'm a great artist, I go to my private room, I close all the doors, and I have my beautiful imaginative visions, and then I come out to the world, and I show them to you, and you will be impressed with them. And some people work that way, and it is beautiful, and it's very convincing. But I think there's a push to work in a way that is much more about interaction and about community. And it's about taking the voices that one encounters and trying to honestly represent them. And that's what this is doing. I mean, this is really born out of hundreds of hours of interviews with people and tons notebooks full of notes. And it doesn't always come through. And if you just read it, you probably don't know that. But all that information is sifted through and informed the production of this. So I think some of the most exciting art is the art that's interactive with one's community, where you're actually getting out and talking to people and trying to produce things based on that work.
And let's talk a little bit about what's going on the back page.
One thing that saves it from being the Onion, there's a transition in it. When you start on the front page, it starts very official and newsy. It then, as you move through it, the language starts breaking down, the pictures get stranger, and by the time you get to the end, it's clearly a send-up of the official sort of State Journal Register. So I hope there's a transition in there that people can ride. I want to give this shout-out to Myra and Howard West for making the West Plan for Springfield. It is an amazing city plan that he came up with back in 1923 that includes moving railways, expanding streets, having more city parks. And just now the city is getting around to implementing some of these things, like removing the railroads from Enos Park, which would make a huge difference to the community. So in honor of his amazing work, he has the entire back page, a wind chart, which is a spoof of the back page usually being the weather page, and also his summation of working with the people of Springfield. So he's my kind of honorary guardian angel on top of this, I guess. The back page has a wind chart from the West Plan that includes present city of Springfield, future city of Springfield, and proposed factory district with different gradations on the map so you know which one. And I think it speaks to the entire paper, where I'm talking about the past, I'm talking about this present, and then the speculative version of the future. Like, this is what Springfield could be. None of these things are beyond the realm of possibility. All of these things people in the community can actually affect through voting, through calling in, through organizing, through demonstrating. This is a call to political action. So Springfield has such an intense history. History really resonates here in a way that I don't think it does in a lot of other places. So I want to call on that history, call on the fake news history, call on the way that people have lived here before, and get them to start imagining the future in the way that West did when he was called in to create a future for the city.